Today, the Lenten instruction brings us back to the reality of the spiritual warfare, which is always raging. And it also brings us back to the awareness of a related problem, that is hardness of heart. So I would say the Gospel especially addresses the spiritual warfare, and the first reading and the Psalm address hardness of heart. It's not a surprise that Jesus is dealing with unclean spirits in today's gospel, because he seems to be doing this all the time. In practically every page of the gospels, he's driving out one demon or another. At the very beginning of Lent, on the first Sunday of Lent, he went into the desert specifically to engage Satan in battle and to overcome him. Remember that the temptations, Satan keeps trying and trying and trying. Every time he loses, because every time Jesus wins. So that's the story of the spiritual battle between Jesus and the devil. The devil loses every single time. Whenever Jesus wants to cast out an evil spirit, he just does it. Every time. I don't think there was any spiritual warfare going on in the death of that microphone. But maybe because it's Las Piñas Day, you know, today's Las Piñas Day, so it's a holiday today here in Las Piñas, so people taking a day off. So, anyway, the spiritual warfare is much more severe than minor inconveniences. It's the contrast or the conflict between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Two kingdoms in direct opposition to each other. When Jesus drives out the demon from the mute man and the man is able to speak clearly, the crowds are amazed, which is a right response. When we see goodness triumphing over evil, especially powerful evil, we should be amazed and we should be joyful and grateful. That's not a surprising part of today's gospel. The surprising part is the other reaction that some people in the crowd had, and that was the accusation that Jesus' power over evil spirits comes from the prince of demons. It's a really weird way of thinking. Not even logical. And it shows that there's something, not just something wrong with their way of thinking, but there's an attitude in them which prevents them from seeing what is good or from accepting what is good. And so they immediately judge it as something evil. It's actually a very good example of what we usually call prejudice. Prejudice is an inner disposition against, it's a prejudgment, right? It's against something. Even if it's good, we're already set against it. It's a prejudice. So these people have a prejudice against Jesus. No matter what he does, they're going to interpret it in a negative way. If he doesn't drive out a demon, they'll say he can't do it. If he does drive out a demon, they'll say he does it with evil power from the evil one. If he performs a sign, they'll say it comes from evil. If he doesn't perform a sign, then they'll say, we want you to perform a sign. Something wrong with these people. Well, there's something wrong with the disposition or the prejudice that is against what is good. And this is a danger not only for the rare cases of demonic possession, it's a danger for everybody, that we can harden ourselves in a position that ends up opposing what is good, opposing God. This disposition, this kind of prejudice, needs to be exposed. Because when we're in that inner disposition, we are playthings in the hands of the evil one. We don't need to be possessed. We've already resisted God, so it's easy for Satan to take over. In fact, Satan doesn't even need to possess people. All he needs to do is separate them from God. Distract them from God. fill their minds with something else that other than God. He doesn't need people to be mass murderers. He loves that if he can, but he'll be satisfied with people who are just satisfied with lying or selfishness or envy or pride. Good enough for him, but terrible for us. So that's why in Lent we examine the spiritual warfare and the disposition that makes us vulnerable to spiritual attacks. And that disposition is what I addressed at the beginning, hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. We know this Psalm 95, we hear it many times in the season of Lent. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. It's like a constant refrain. Don't harden your heart against God. Don't establish a prejudice against anything that's good. The example from Psalm 95 is the people, the Israelites in the desert, when God was leading them through the desert and providing for them, they complained. And they turned against him and said, God isn't doing for us what we need. He's not providing food and water for us. That's why it says in the Psalm, if today you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the desert, where your fathers tempted me. They tested me, though they had seen my works. So the Israelites in the desert, they certainly saw the works of God. They passed right through the Red Sea. They saw Egyptian army get defeated before their very eyes. And yet they still had an inner disposition of a prejudice against God because he wasn't doing things the way they wanted. So this is a danger for us, hardness of heart. And the prophet Jeremiah describes this very, very starkly. God sent the prophets, God gave the commandments, God gives his word to the people, and then he says, they obeyed not, nor did they pay heed. They walked in the hardness of their evil hearts and turned their backs, not their faces to me. So that's that turning of one's back. That's an external action which reveals an interior disposition. The interior disposition is the hardness of heart. But if our hearts are hardened, yes, we'll turn our backs to the Lord. What we need to do then is call upon the power that makes it possible for us to overcome these inner dispositions and these attacks from the evil one. That power is the power of Jesus Christ. The victory over the evil one has already been won by him. It's not as if we have to walk into battle on our own. We did, we would certainly lose. And when we do, we certainly lose. But with the power of Jesus Christ, not only do we have victory, we don't even have to worry. We have access to this power through the sacraments, starting with baptism. Baptism transfers us from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Like that. It's so simple. As I say, Jesus wins all the time. Here he says that he can drive out demons by the finger of God. It just takes one finger to drive out demons. In baptism, a little water, the right words, invocation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that child becomes a member of the kingdom of God, becomes a member of the body of Christ. It's a complete victory in the space of a minute. Really beautiful sacrament of baptism. But all the sacraments are examples of the power of God reigning over the evil one. Confession is another great example. And maybe that's the one we experience more consciously, because you can't go to confession by accident. It doesn't happen when you're a little baby. You have to decide to repent and decide to go to the priest and decide to say the very things that you hide. So that's not as easy as baptism, but it has the same extraordinary power over evil. Prayer is powerful. The liturgy is powerful. The word of God is powerful. Sacramentals are powerful. rosaries, medals, statues, religious images, powerful weapons against evil, when we should use them. We made a pilgrimage this past weekend to Cebu, and we did our Visita Iglesia pilgrimage on last Saturday. I was surprised and very beautiful, and there's a lot of spiritual power in the church. But I was surprised that in all the churches, we went to, on Friday we went to 2 churches, and on Saturday we went to 8 churches, that's 10 churches, and then there was a chapel and the retreat house. I didn't see holy water in any of them. I mean, maybe I missed it because we didn't always go through the front door. Sometimes the doors were closed and we snuck in through the side. But where's the holy water? Where, usually at a church, when you walk in, you dip your fingers in the holy water and you make the sign of the cross. That's a renewal of the power of baptism over us. It's a renewal of our dedication to the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual weapon against temptation. Holy water. It's very basic. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was there. But I think it's too bad if there's not holy water. I understand it's difficult to keep those holy water stoops or those fonts clean, especially in those popular churches of thousands of people. But okay, they have to be cleaned every day. It's worth it. It's worth it. Actually, I should give credit to the Basilica of the Santo Niño, because before every Mass, they have a blessing of all the people with all their different intentions and a blessing of all the religious items, and they use a lot of holy water. When I was in the sacristy, there was a whole shelf full of bottles of holy water. And when, maybe if you were there before the Mass, not only did I say the prayers and bless many, many religious items on the altar rail, but the lay ministers went into the church and sprinkled all the people. So, okay, maybe that's why they don't have holy water, because every Mass they have a blessing. But my point is, we need to use the spiritual weapons that are available to us, especially the sacraments, but then the sacramentals, like holy water or religious items, because we need strength against the evil one. We don't have strength by ourselves. We need the strength that comes from God. Okay. You know, I just a little practical aside. I understand that it could be hard to maintain a holy water font and keep it clean. But in this parish here, and I think in many parishes, they have every first Sunday a blessing of all the birthday celebrants. I think it's the birthdays on the first Sunday. And then the priest will go and bless all the people who gather in front of the altar. I know we do it in Christ the King, and we do it here. And then here in Mother of the Church, after every single Mass, the janitors come and mop the floor, because there's, you know, holy water sprinkled all over. So after every single Mass, they mop the floor. Well, that's a lot of work. And they say, well, it's worth it because of the blessing. Well, it's also worth it to have holy water. Okay, that's not none of my business. But the point is, we're in a spiritual battle. We have an enemy, and we need to use the weapons against him. But we also need to use the weapon of interior prayer, because hardness of heart doesn't get washed away by the use of holy water alone. Hardness of heart is the result of our decisions, and we need to make right decisions with grace so that the wrong decisions don't harden in us. And that's a daily work of deciding for God and against evil, deciding for the kingdom of God and against the kingdom of evil. It's a decision that grows stronger the more we do it. That's virtue. The more we do it, the more we develop the habit of saying, yes, Lord, your will be done, Lord, the stronger we get. And the less we do it, the weaker we get. Okay. In the case of the people of Jeremiah's time, they were so weak, they were so unused to yielding to God, that the prophet says, this is the nation that does not listen to the voice of God, does not take correction. Faithfulness has disappeared. The word itself is banished from their speech. They're so overcome by hardness of heart. They're so hardened in vice. They have no virtue at all. They're in a hardened condition. Not that stops God. God never stops loving us, and he, the Father sends his Son to these very people, the very ones who are so disobedient, who are hardened in hearts, who have turned their backs, the very chosen people who rejected him so many times, he still sent his Son, not only to the chosen people, the Jews, but to all of us who are not worthy of such a Savior. Because God's love never stops. He hopes that at least some people will say yes to him. And let us be the people that he's looking for, the people who respond in interiorly, in spirit and in truth, in prayer, making good use of the sacraments, good use of the spiritual weapons that are given to us, so that his kingdom can reign in us and through us.